Carrollton High School. I graduated in 2016. And from there, I went on to Missouri State University in Springfield and pursued my degree in agriculture. So while I was there, I met my fiance. I got involved in a ministry that I absolutely love. And I graduated in 2019. And from there, like when I was graduating, I was really deeply sensing the Lord calling me into ministry and asking me to make those steps towards Him. And I know in our minds, a lot of times when we think, oh, they're going into the mission field, they're going to be a missionary, we think Africa, we think China, we think Russia, we think places where people are really hungry for the gospel. But when I was in college, the Lord opened my eyes to the needs right here and on our college campuses and everything that university students are experiencing and facing every single day. So for the last 5 years, I have been serving as a campus missionary with Missouri State Chi Alpha. In those 5 years, I've pursued additional educational training and ministry training, developing the skills necessary to reach college students with the gospel. Chi Alpha, I think people hear that and they're like, what? What's that? It's really, it's just a shortened word. It comes from 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we're called to be Christ's ambassadors. It comes from the Greek translation. We're not a fraternity, not a sorority, just a campus ministry there to welcome and to reach students who've never heard the name of Christ. So I serve as the missions director on our team. I facilitate all of the domestic and foreign mission trips that we take our students on. Not only are we challenging our students to come in and know Christ, but we're also challenging them to partake on His mission field. So my role is managing all those teams, training up leaders, resourcing and equipping people to the mission field abroad. Additionally, I serve on our preaching and our speaking team. And then, most importantly, I serve discipling students through small group contexts and through one-on-one discipleship. So that's my favorite part of my job, discipling students, meeting with students, investing in college students that are coming to campus. If you guys see in your bulletins, I think a lot of people got them. I had my prayer card and then just a little bit of information about Chi Alpha. Feel free to take that. I know the picture's old, but my last name is changing in like 3 months, so I'm not printing new ones quite yet. So that's the mixed explanation there. I wasn't quite ready to print some new ones, but something that I love about college ministry and ministry on the college campus is how different it is from what we see in our context right here. Because some of you guys have been sitting in the exact same pew for the last 16 years. Think about that. We see brand new college students on the campus every 16 weeks, right? So we are constantly welcoming new people. That is every single 4 years, we have a whole new congregation. An entirely new body of students sitting in the seats every single week. Isn't that crazy? So our mindset, every time we're meeting with a student, every time we're having a gathering, every time we're worshiping together, every time we're praying together, is intentionality. And that's really what I love. I love that focus on intentionality that we have. And I've been really looking forward to sharing this morning because of just the important role that you guys have played in my own faith journey. This has been a community and a church that has really supported me and helped me grow in my faith. This is a church community that's seen me through a lot of things, running through the halls as a little kid, doing the acolyte, Wednesday night dinners with Joe Grown. Anybody remember those? The Christmas parade and nativity scene, all of my crazy 4-H and FFA activities. And even through those heavier things, like the loss of my mom and the loss of my dad, hosting their services and their bereavement dinners. And all throughout college and in the last few years, I've had people ask me how I made it through what I did as a kid, losing my parents. And every time, without fail, I'm always able to answer and say, because I had a praying church, because I had a praying community, because I had a praying and a supportive family, I had people around me, you guys, my own family, that sacrificed their own preferences, their own desires, and their own resources to help show Katie and I that we were loved and that we were seen by God during that time. And I just want to take a second to thank you guys. Thank you so much, each and every one of you who played a role in that. I know some of you guys don't even go here. You just came to support me, and I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. This church and this community, the way it supported me reminds me a lot of 2 Timothy and the backing that Timothy had. So if you could, would you turn with me to 2 Timothy 1, 5 through 8. The Apostle Paul is writing this letter to Timothy from prison. So he's in prison for his efforts in trying to share the gospel and advance the gospel. And Paul really views Timothy as a son, as someone who's really cherished him, who's really close to him. He refers to him as a true son in the faith in both of his letters to Timothy. So it's this really endearing language where Paul is saying, is encouraging him, is writing this advice and this encouragement to him, and hopes that it can help guide him as Timothy is also trying to advance the gospel in his context. 2 Timothy 1, 5 through 8 says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know the same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, and don't be ashamed of me either. Even though I'm in prison for him, with the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. And while we don't have quite enough time to dive into everything that this has, I really want to pick through and pull a few parallels out that I see here for our ministry, for our conversations today. I think it's really clear that Timothy had a really good backing of people in his life, faithful people in his life that supported him. In this culture, it's really common that faith would have been passed down through the fathers. But holy cow, like the investment that Lois and Eunice made in Timothy's life helps propel him into a future of lifelong ministry and serving God faithfully. Verse 6 goes on to say, this is why I remind you to fan into flame the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. In the same way that Lois and Eunice were faithful to help lay the foundation in Timothy's life, I think we can all acknowledge that there are Pauls in our life that are also helping to try and fan into flame the things that God's currently doing in our life. And this reminds me of that picture I had on the screen of me at graduation standing up here and you guys praying over me. Praying that out, that spirit of power and of love and of sound mind over me. But something it also reminds me of is when I was greeted coming onto the college campus, when I met people in Chi Alpha, and I was introduced to people who really deeply cared about me, people who believed in me without knowing me, people who cared so deeply that I encountered the Spirit of God. That was when I really encountered discipleship. But here's the deal. This couldn't have been my story without you guys, without Mary Jane and Fred, without a praying community, and without an introduction to the gospel message. And it wouldn't have been Timothy's story without Lois and without Eunice. Every year, thousands of students leave home and transition to the college campus. The university campus is a melting pot of ideas and beliefs. And any given day, I can walk into the student union or any classroom on campus and encounter students who have differing socioeconomic backgrounds, race, ethnicity, religion, and political views that differ from one another. And every single semester on campus, I get to meet students who don't have the privilege of having a background like my own, of having a Lois and a Eunice in their life, of having a church background supporting them. Students who simply have never heard that Jesus died on the cross for their sins and loves them. I remember I met this student whenever I was a junior in high school, or junior in college, in my ag economics class. Her name was Elaine. There's a picture up right there. She was studying, and she was from China. And I remember sitting with her and talking with her and beginning to hang out with her and invite her to my small group and help her get connected to the ministry of Chi Alpha. And I remember just the deep relationship that was formed. And throughout that semester, Elaine started to ask me some really big questions about faith and about God that she doesn't have the opportunity to ask back at home in China. If you know much about the spiritual climate there, there's a lot of restraint on what's being able to be shared. There's a lot of restraint on Christianity, on faith. But we had the opportunity as students and as campus missionaries to minister to those students and to invest in those students. And then at the end of the semester, I had the privilege of being able to baptize Elaine and see her come to know Jesus, and see her come to accept Christ as her Lord and Savior. And so this for me was a light bulb moment. This for me was something that said, man, I want to do this forever. I want to see people constantly giving their hearts to the Lord. I want to see people whose lives are radically changed and transformed because of the love of Christ. And so that was one of the major points. That's one of the major memories that I look back on and recall and say, man, this was the Lord calling me into Chi Alpha, calling me into campus ministry. And it's not just students from China and India and Japan that have never heard the gospel. It's students from Kansas City. It's students from St. Louis. It's students from Carroll County. And this is what happens when we disciple and when we invest in the next generation. Family lineages are changed. Elaine's children won't be the same because they have a mother who knows the name of Jesus. Because they have a mother that is praying for them, that is fighting for them, that cares for them in that way. We will see countries and places changed for the kingdom of God. And I feel so blessed because I get to walk with students like Elaine every single day. Through trial and through triumph, I get to show them who Jesus is and help them discern what he might be speaking to them and what he might be calling them to. And I know that sounds a little mystical, but I promise there's a lot of strategy and intention and care put into everything that we do on campus. There'll be a luncheon afterwards where there's more Q&A, where you can ask about the nitty-gritty, where you can hear what I do on a day-to-day. But this, in short, is what I do. I get to invest in students. And while you might be sitting here and wondering, okay, but what's my role? I think that's a really great question to be asking right now. I'm highly practical, so that's how I've listed the next steps. My brain, every time I preach, I'm like, okay, guys, here's my practical points. That's what I do with our students. Practical thing, be a Lois. Be a Eunice. Be someone who is continuing to lay the groundwork and the foundation for our youth. Be a resource for the youth in this community. Raise up more people. Invest in youth like me, because the impact that made in my life was immeasurable. Then the next thing, be a Paul. Be someone who is fanning into flame spiritual growth in the next generation. This means intentional conversations. It means directing. It means challenging. It means encouraging those younger than you, those that you have influence in. The next thing, pray. Because our world, our nation, our community, and our town needs our prayer. It needs us to be fighting battles in the spiritual realm and recognizing that prayer is a weapon, that prayer is something that we can use to seek the Lord. Next thing, again, highly practical, help connect graduating seniors to campus ministries. Chi Alpha is on over 300 college campuses across the nation, and there's other incredible ministries like Crew and Navigators that you can help push students towards, encourage them towards, and show them that great community of peers their age. Honestly, they may just have never seen peers their age seeking out the Lord with fervor. You guys have been making an investment, so pass that baton and pass it well. And the next thing I would ask you is if you would please consider partnering with me monthly as I serve on the college campus. So I am a missionary. I do live on a monthly budget that's supported by friends and family that's and churches, people who really believe in reaching the next generation, people who have a heart for seeing people like Elaine's life transformed for the gospel. I've got the QR code on the screen, so if this is something you would want to do, you can definitely scan this. You can definitely go on and give that. You just have to put in my last name, B-E-R-E-Y. There's always been a B. But those are just some practical ways that you can get involved in reaching the next generation and being a Lois or being a Eunice for those that are coming up behind us. I want to end by rereading verse 8 and closing us in prayer. 2 Timothy 1:8 says, "So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, and don't be ashamed of me either, even though I am imprisoned for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news." Lord, I just pray right now that you would God, that you would inspire this group here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would encourage them to reach the youth that are coming up, Lord, to invest in the youth, God, spiritually, Lord, to be sound mentors and disciplers to the next generation. Lord, and I pray over this partnership that's already been established and rooted. Lord, I pray that you would bless it and help us to further that, Lord. God, we love you, and we just thank you for our time here today. I'm so appreciative to be here, Lord. Amen. I'm going to have Pastor Dan come back up.
I'll have you know, I'm very proud. Amy and I are also partnered. We've been contributing, and it's been a great deal. She gives wonderful newsletters. It's wonderful to still, because we obviously, we went to college, and college ministry was a big part of what really solidified our path and our destiny. So, thank you, Kara. What do we do next after this? An invitation is what we do. So, if you want it with me, kind of, think about the larger call to disciple people individually, to be a Lois or a Eunice. By the way, that's great thematic interweaving in your lesson. I really appreciated that. It was good. But personally, be, you know, be someone who is talking and inviting. The other thing to be thinking is, yeah, do consider financially supporting Cara Berry. These ministries aren't magic. And hey, take support, and within the last year, you had like a third of an increase of your needed fundraising because of inflation. She just barely got there, finally started having it going, and then guess what? Inflation. Just like the rest of us, now she's got to start from scratch and go back or ask for more people. So don't be afraid to do that. But for now, in our invitation, let's focus on being people who respond faithfully to Christ's command to join him in the work of spreading the knowledge of his name, of the knowledge of the gospel. Just as Kara has said yes, I've said yes, I've tried to say yes every day. Let's be people who aren't ashamed or aren't afraid of investing in them. So as we go into our invitation, be prayerful in response to that call. Think about that and pray on that with the Lord. Let's go ahead and just stand for it. And Sheila, will you start us off with our hymn of invitation? I will go wherever God calls. We're just doing verses 1 and 2. So please stand if you can.